Harry Potter and the Orb of Exuberance by Fezzador. Read by Sam Gabriel. Based on the works of J.K. Rowling. Chapter 46. Melatonin's no substitute for a sleeping draught. By the time Harry cleaned up for the evening and changed into his pajamas, it was nearly 10 o'clock. With a soft yawn, he crawled into his full-sized bed and settled in for the night. Just as he was about to drift off, he heard a sharp psst from the cot on the other side of the room. "Hey, Harry, how'd it go?" asked Othniel.
"Go to bed, Othniel," Harry replied with a sleepy creak.
He rolled over on his side, turning his back toward his friend.
"Sorry, Othniel. I'm just having a hard time falling asleep, is all."
"Oh, for Pete's sake," grumbled Harry. "Go to the hall bathroom and grab a cup of water and check the medicine cabinet for some melatonin," he groaned. "While you're at it, you might want to get a couple extra for me as well."
"Oh, so no magical ways of getting me to fall asleep, I take it?"
Othniel persisted. "Not tonight, at least," replied Harry. "Sirius and Remus said they may be going to the local wizarding district tomorrow, so maybe you can ask before they leave."
"Bummer," sighed Othniel.
He got up from his cot and made his way down the hall, ostensibly to find the melatonin Harry recommended. He returned a couple of minutes later, pills in hand, with a small plastic cup of tap water.
"Did you find any?" Harry asked.
Othniel stifled a yawn.
"Yeah, the bottle says it may take a little while to kick in, though."
He handed a pair of small white pills to Harry.
"There you go, dude."
"Thanks," Harry whispered as Othniel got settled back down in his cot.
"So," continued Othniel, "if you don't mind telling me, what all did they tell you?"
Harry sighed. "Some of the stuff they said, I'm probably not at liberty to tell anyone, at least not yet. I already know a fair bit of the story, though, from what Remus and Nova said, but it felt, well, right, coming from the mouths of Uncle Roger and Sirius." He hummed softly. "In a nutshell, they told me a bit about the war in magical Britain and how I ended up in Canada."
"Gotcha," replied Othniel. "Do you feel satisfied, at least?"
"I do," confirmed Harry. "There's still more to the story, which they said will come another time, but considering my limited magical education so far, they didn't want to overwhelm me. Even some of the stuff they told me tonight doesn't make a ton of sense yet."
"That's probably why they wanted to wait to tell you," surmised Othniel. "We've only begun our magical training a few short months ago. A magical war sounds like a pretty heavy-duty topic to me."
"No kidding," said Harry. He was cut off by a sudden gentle rapping on the bedroom door.
Hello?
The wooden door creaked as it slowly opened.
"Hi,"
came the whispered response.
"Nova?"
exclaimed Harry and Othniel.
"Yes, it's me,"
Nova whispered. "I'm having a hard time falling asleep. I took that bloody melatonin 40 minutes ago and it's still not kicking in yet. I hope neither of you mind if I camp out in here tonight." She nudged Othniel with her foot. "Up you get, Beckett." Othniel sighed.
"I suppose that's my cue to climb in your bed, Harry."
He got up from his cot and got on the other side of Harry's full-size bed.
"Don't hog the blanket,"
Harry groaned with a trace of annoyance. Meanwhile, Nova cozied herself up on the cot previously occupied by Othniel. She found the stiff canvas to be a lot less comfortable than the plush twin-sized mattress she was laying down on in the guest room, but she had to admit the trade-off was worth it.
"Thank you,"
she murmured as she fluffed her pillow.
"Don't mention it,"
Harry whispered back. "We ended up taking some of that melatonin ourselves a few minutes ago," added Othniel. "So if you took it 40 minutes ago, then we might not be out for a good while."
"What I wouldn't give for a sleeping draught," agreed Nova. "I think Merlin, Professor Lupin, and Black are going to the Wizarding District tomorrow."
"So how are you liking Surrey so far?" asked Harry. "You don't regret leaving the castle for Thanksgiving, do you?" Nova grimaced.
"It's a little overwhelming, Harry, I think you know that."
She sighed softly to herself.
"Sorry, I didn't mean to snap at you like that. Well, meeting my birth parents is a huge deal. One night is scarcely enough time to make up for being apart for 14 years. I cannot deny the connection that I felt when I got off the train. There's just a certain safety in Daddy's arms, and Mum, she's more magical than she'll ever know."
"In other words, nothing like how your grandparents described them," chuckled Harry.
"So are you thinking of returning for Christmas break?"
"I'm not going to lie. I'm not used to spending time in a nearly magic-free house," Nova admitted.
So many strange muggle devices. I'm not saying that's bad or anything, but it's just so different than what I'm used to. She stopped to ponder for a moment. Most likely I'll be returning to Great Britain to spend Christmas with my grandparents just like the past 2 years. They may be stubborn and narrow-minded, but they're also the people that raised me.
Are you going to tell them that you visited your birth parents for Thanksgiving? Asked Othniel. How well do you think they'd take it?
Again, there was a pause in the air before Nova responded. At some point I'll tell them. I'm not exactly sure how to bring it up, but a goal of mine is to have my birth parents and my grandparents reconcile at some point. I'm 3 years away from being considered an adult in the Wizarding World. I'm not as oblivious to what's going on as my grandparents think I am. They need to understand that I'm my own person and that I'm responsible for my own choices. I'm not going to parrot everything they do or say just because they're my grandparents. I know right from wrong. And a lot of their outdated and hurtful views are absolutely wrong. I don't expect them to pull a 180 and certainly be sympathetic to Muggleborns or anything, but they should at least accept the fact that there are those in the Wizarding World who think differently than they do, and to respect those differences.
Muggleborns? Asked Othniel in a puzzled tone.
No Matchborn, clarified Harry. Muggleborn is the British version.
I see, replied Othniel. So certain families in magical Britain look down on others, sort of like the old money and commoner rivalry we have here.
It's quite a bit like that, yes, agreed Nova. There are a handful of families in magical Britain that think they're above everyone else. They're called purebloods, meaning all known family members are magical, and they want to keep it that way. Under certain circumstances, it may be acceptable to marry a particularly influential half-blood, but it's utterly blasphemous to marry a Muggleborn, or as they say derisively, mudblood. Doing so would risk disinheritance, just ask Sirius.
But Sirius didn't get disinherited for marrying a no-badge-born, Harry said.
He joined some sort of rebellion. Order of the Phoenix, I think.
Yes, but that's what happened to his cousin Andromeda a while back, clarified Nova.
It was a pretty scandalous event, according to my grandparents. It was a bit before my time, so I can't say firsthand.
It's probably just as well I'm in North America then, sighed Harry. I know it's not perfect, but it sounds a lot more uptight over there.
Magical Britain clings to tradition like barnacles on a ship's hull, giggled Nova. Magical North America isn't without its flaws, but at least it's possible for a commoner to marry into an old money family and not have major repercussions.
What are some of the flaws of Magical North America? Inquired Othniel.
You're muggled, no Madge born, squeaked Nova. You've heard of some Italian-American organized crime syndicates, like the Mafia?
Oh yeah, chuckled Othniel. I stayed over at a friend's house last year and we watched The Godfather. He lowered his voice. That's between us. If my parents ever find out that I watched an R-rated movie.
If they haven't found out by now, they probably never will, laughed Harry.
Anyway, quite a few of the old money families are pretty crooked, elaborated Nova. For instance, they may loan out money to commoners with ridiculous interest rates, or they may just give them the money and let them know that they owe them a favor, which the family reserves the right to invoke at any time. It usually involves something rather unsavory.
Remind me not to get mixed up with old money families, grumbled Othniel.
So long as you're not desperate for money, you should be fine, giggled Nova.
She had a small yawn escape from her lips.
I think that melatonin is finally starting to kick in. Good night, boys.
Good night.
Good night, echoed Harry and Othniel.
It wasn't long before the boys' eyelids started getting heavy.
By the time 11 o'clock rolled around, all three children were slumbering peacefully.
The next morning, the children were awakened by the aroma of scrambled eggs, bacon, and English muffins. Rhonda was at the stove, humming as she was whisking several eggs. Roger was seated at the circular kitchen table, enjoying a mug of hot black coffee.
Good morning, kids, purred Rhonda as she scooped some fluffy yellow eggs onto some plates.
There's milk and orange juice in the refrigerator. I'll have your breakfast on the table in a jiffy.
Thanks, said Nova as she took her seat next to her father.
So, Uncle Roger, Harry said as he poured himself a glass of milk. Do you think I can go with Remus and Padfoot to the Wizarding District today? I haven't been to the one in Vancouver yet.
I'm not sure, Harry, replied Roger, taking a sip of his still-hot coffee. I've never been myself, so I can't vouch for its safety.
Well, I'll be with two adults, countered Harry, and it can't be that dangerous, can it?
I just don't want you to get lost, Izzo, sighed Roger. Merlin knows what kind of shady characters you'll come across. Nocturnally in London is full of them.
Nova's ears perked up.
You've actually beaten to Nocturnally, Daddy? Is it really as wanton and filthy as your parents say?
Every bit, never love, replied Roger. I've been, but not on purpose. It's not a crowd you really want to mingle with, nothing but fences and junkheads.
Nova tilted her head.
How'd you end up there, if you don't mind my asking?
Let me put it this way, chuckled Roger. Don't mumble your words when you want to flew somewhere. Otherwise you might end up somewhere you really don't want to be.
Flew? Asked Dathniel, who had never heard of such a method of transportation.
I used the flu for the first time earlier this term, Harry said. I tried it out in Ramus's office once. Basically, it's a network of connected fireplaces that you can use after you throw a pinch of greenish powder on the ground.
Roger's face lit up.
So how'd it treat you, huh?
Harry shrugged. Well, it was a little weird when I did it, but at least I made it through in one piece.
This house isn't connected by a flu, is it? Asked Nova.
I'm afraid not, replied Roger. We're living off the grid, so to speak, as far as the magical world is concerned.
That had to have been quite an adjustment, murmured Nova in between sips of milk. I don't know if I could give up magic at the drop of a hat.
It wasn't easy, admitted Roger. But I had to do it for Harry's sake. If I twirled my wand around with reckless abandon, there's no telling what kind of unwanted attention I'd attract.
He then turned his attention toward Harry.
I'll ask Remus and Sirius to see if they'll let the three of you tag along. That is, assuming they're still going.
Awesome. Thanks, Uncle Roger.
Harry yelped with excitement.
You're welcome, Harry. Roger chuckled.
I'm afraid poor Remus is going to have his work cut out for him. He'll have you three and Sirius to keep in line.
What's wrong with Sirius? Athniel asked with innocence.
Roger offered Athniel a slight grin.
Old Padford's a good bloke and all, but as he's, and I quote, an eligible bachelor, he'll ask just about any attractive witch he sees on a date.
Mel, and he's even asked a few non-magicals on dates, he shrugged.
To his credit, he's been fairly successful, but I just wish he'd find one and stick with her. Truth be told, I think he struggled to cope with the death of his fiancée 10 years ago.
Harry's eyes widened.
Who was she, if you don't mind telling us?
Roger let out a small, sad sigh.
Felicity Spinnaker. Like your parents, she was one of Voldemort's victims.
He placed a hand on Harry's shoulder.
Do me a favor, Harry. Don't bring it up with Sirius. It's a sensitive topic of sorts.
For the full text of this and other stories by the same author, visit the AO3 page of Fezzador. Music is The Chamber by Kevin MacLeod. Special thanks to Sakiko. If you would like me to record a story, voiceover, or character, please get in touch with me using the contact information on my website, which is located at samgabrielvo.com. And there you can find other stories that I've read, as well as a link to my Discord server and other ways to support what I do. And finally, as always, thank you for listening.